好，诸位菩萨，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone.
好，我们能够听到佛法，就觉得很殊胜难得。好，这刚刚我们念开经偈可以知道哈。那我们这个题目讲什么？今天的题目是什么？菩萨戒，然后呢？成佛必修学分哈，那我问一下，有没有人这个学分还没修
？So, as we chant the verse for opening the sutra, we know it is such a blessing to be able to hear the Dhamma. So it is something we need to cherish. You know, what's today's topic? Today the topic is Bodhisattva precepts, the prerequisite course for the Buddhahood. First, I want to ask, has anyone haven't received Bodhisattva precepts, haven't taken this prerequisite course yet? Please raise your hand.
Oh, 那真的要认真思考了齁。既然想不想成佛呢？这要问这个还没修学分的人怎么想这件事。
Well, for those who raised hands, it is really we really need to reflect on it, whether, if you want to achieve Buddhahood, but you haven't taken this, prerequisite course yet.
好。还有呢，有人还没修嘛，齁。那已经修的怎么样呢？
So, for people who have already taken Bodhisattva precepts,the people already taken this prerequisite course for the Buddhahood. How are you doing?
其实上一次的课有介绍，对不对？有没有提为什么要受菩萨戒？有没有提？大家还记得吗？为什么我们要受菩萨戒？菩萨戒对我们有什么重要？
So during last of my talk, we talked about why we need to receive Bodhisattva precepts and why they are very important. Do you still remember?
为什么我们要受菩萨戒?
So why do we need to take Bodhisattva precepts? Anyone want to talk about it?
有没有人大家都不太敢讲哦，是吧？
Anyone wants to answer that?
我们都称呼大家是什么？我们互相称呼，我们都称呼什么？某某什么？菩萨，对不对？我们都称某某菩萨。为什么会有这个菩萨这个名字？
So, and in the center, we always address each other as...Bodhisattva. So do you know why we address people this way?
要成为菩萨第一步一定是要干嘛？哈？发菩提心，然后呢？上次我们有讲过齁，要成为菩萨一定得受菩萨戒才能成为菩萨，不然不能成为菩萨。因为菩萨是因为受戒而来的。
So I mentioned during last talk that to be able to call someone so and so Bodhisattva, that person needs to receive Bodhisattva precepts because such title actually comes from Bodhisattva precepts.
好，在《梵网经》呢有提到哈，一切有心者皆因摄佛戒，众生受佛戒，即入诸佛位。
So in the Brahmanet Sutra, it says, all that are determined to attain Buddhahood should observe Bodhisattva precepts. Once sentient beings receive the Bodhisattva precepts, they are viewed to enter the Buddhahood.
所以呢，这个经文告诉我们说呢，这个佛戒呢，有另外的名字哈，其实也是什么，叫做菩萨戒。也叫一切众生戒，为什么呢？其实我们都知道， 心佛众生什么没有差别，因为都有相同的一个什么佛性啊，就是我们都有亲近佛性，所以因为有这个亲近佛性，所以每个人因为这个相同的佛性，所以呢任何众生只要受了这个佛戒，就是菩萨戒，就等同于是什么入诸佛位。上次我们有没有讲过受菩萨戒就是在已经什么在诸佛菩萨的位置里有你的位置了，入诸佛位嘛，就是将来必定会什么成佛嘛。所以说这个菩萨戒重不重要，因为受菩萨戒就是有佛位啊，未来会成佛啊，是非常重要。那也受佛菩萨戒我们才称为佛子，是真正的佛子。
So the Bodhisattva precepts are also understood as the precepts of Buddhahood, precepts of all sentient beings. That is because all sentient beings and Buddhas all have the same Buddha nature. There's no difference in terms of Buddha nature. And because we have the same Buddha nature, those precepts are really the precepts for the all. And they are very important because only when you receive such precepts, you are determined to attain Buddhahood and will become Buddha in the future. And you can be called as the true Buddhist and the child of the Buddha.
好，所以我们知道在这个成佛之道的路径呢，是从凡夫一直到什么？菩萨，然后最后是成佛。这个就是我们修行的道路，成佛之道是这样子的。所以呢信仰大乘佛教一定要修学什么道？从刚刚的路径，从凡夫到佛中间会经过什么？菩萨。所以一定要修学什么？菩萨道。那菩萨道的第一步就是什么？受菩萨戒，所以非常重要。所以如果还没有受菩萨戒的人，一定要去了解为什么这个菩萨戒这么重要，为什么学佛的菩萨多数都去受了菩萨戒，怎么我还没有因缘去受呢？要去想一想，这是蛮重要的问题。
So we all know the path to the Buddhahood starts from the ordinary people, then Bodhi stage of Bodhisattvas, and then to the final stage of Buddhas. So under the face of Mahayana Buddhism, to become Buddha, one must study and practice the Bodhisattva path. And the very first step on the Bodhisattva path is to receive the Bodhisattva precepts. So for people who haven't had a chance to receive Bodhisattva precepts, those people really need to understand why Bodhisattva precepts are very important and why I haven't had a chance to receive Bodhisattva precepts yet.
好，那已经受完菩萨戒，这里头有人是今年刚去的吗？有新的菩萨。好。
So for people who already receive Bodhisattva precepts, by the way, any one of you just receive the Bodhisattva precepts this year, please raise your hand.
好。那受完菩萨戒之后我们要做什么事？受菩萨戒之后我们要做什么？诸位菩萨，这个大家很有共鸣哦。受完菩萨戒要干嘛？行菩萨道。所以受戒之后呢，还要继续的学戒，要先学，我们要一直的学习。为什么？我们学戒对戒清楚的话，我们才懂得怎么好好的来什么持守戒嘛，所以有受戒也要有学戒，最后是啥？ 要好好的来持戒，就是行菩萨道。
好， so for people who already receive Bodhisattva precepts, after we receive Bodhisattva precepts, what do we need to do? First, we need to continue to study and deepen our understanding about the content of precepts, the meaning of precepts. And then we need to uphold precepts and walk the Bodhisattva path.
好，那我们会分几个部分来说明哈，有持戒的意义啊，菩萨戒的精神，还有持戒的态度，菩萨戒的内容，还有忏悔方法，菩萨的说戒布萨，还有受持菩萨戒的殊胜功德，我们分几方面来说。
So today's talk, we will break down to a few categories to talk about. First, we'll talk about the meaning of upholding precepts. Second, we'll talk about the spirits of Bodhisattva precepts. Third, the attitude of upholding precepts. Fourth, the content of Bodhisattva precepts. Fifth, the method of repentance. And sixth, Buddhist observance for reciting Bodhisattva precepts. And last, sublime virtues of upholding precepts.
好，我们来先看持戒的意义。
First, we'll talk about the meaning of upholding precepts.
好，在这个唐朝的道宣律师有讲过哈，什么叫做戒呢？好，这个是文言文啦哈，
So first, we'll talk about
翻成白话没关系。
So first, we'll talk about what Master Dao Xuan mentioned. Master Dao Xuan was born in the Tang Dynasty.
好，戒是谨意之源也，以凡夫无始随妄心业，动与妄会，无私返本。是以大圣数戒谨心，不得堕妄，还轮生死。好，那这个怎么说呢？就是这个戒有什么功能？有受戒跟没受戒的差别。这个戒呢，可以有一个提醒的功能，就是有时时能够警觉我们的心念。那大家觉得说我们凡夫常常是心念是怎么样的啊？心念是乱的，然后是什么动不动是和什么相应，是跟烦恼，还是跟烦恼妄想相应，还是跟这个清净心相应？大家这个就很笃定了，大家有感觉到吗？我们凡夫就是会常常跟我们的妄想怎么样，随着我们的妄想，而且这个妄想常常是不清净的，所以就会造了很多什么恶业嘛。那造恶业的结果会什么？就会受苦报嘛。所以就是我们的凡夫平常是这个样子的，所以需不需要这个？需不需要戒啊？需啊，因为我们的习惯性是这样。大家觉得造善容易还是造恶比较容易？啊？大家答这个考题很简单，大家马上就讲了哈。造恶的确比较容易，我们的妄念驱动我们去做的行为上。多数如果我们是怎么样，没有一个警觉的功能在，我们都是去干嘛的？造恶业多，那修善业比较少。所以这个戒重不重要？好。
So precepts are very important because they serve as a reminder and alert for ourselves.And ask us to reflect upon ourselves all the time. Because we all have this experience as ordinary people, our thoughts, words, actions always correspond with ignorance. We have all the time have wandering thoughts instead of corresponding with the pure Buddha nature. So it is we create karma all the time, and we suffer from our own karmic results. So it is very important to have precepts to help us, because it is very easy for ordinary sentient beings to generate evil karmic results.
好，那没关系，我们可以继续讲哈。就是说，我们知道这个戒很重要，它可以从两个方面来表现哈。就是当我们有烦恼的时候，这个警觉的功能就会出现，这个就是戒哈。那它可以从两方面，一个就是说可以事前防范，就是说我们可能如果有外在环境诱惑我们要去做什么不好的事情，造恶业的时候，我们就会出现什么戒嘛，就会提醒说，诶，这个事情，诶，我受菩萨戒好像不能做这件事哦。这个蚂蚁啊或蚊子啊，以前看到蚊子准备来吸我的血的时候，我就怎样，完全是直觉就怎么样打下去了，完全没有动一个念头，直觉手就怎么样，习惯性的就把他打死了，对不对？那如果受了菩萨戒，就会想说什么？我们主要不杀人，但是连所有一切众生都是我们要怎么样救护的对象，所以就会想到，哎，我受了菩萨戒，手准备要下去的时候，就想到什么？哦，我是受菩萨戒的，那就会到这边就会赶，就用手挥一挥，请他什么离开。这个就发挥了功能，这只是举例啦，生活中应该有很多，大家应该会有遇到一些事情是需要怎么样，这个警觉性要出来，所以可以事前防范，所以有防非止恶的功能。那
So the basic meaning of precepts is to function as vigilance and to alert us when we about to commit something or do something. For example, when vexation arises, if we receive precepts, we know precepts, it will serve as a reminder, and we will realize, oh, we are about to do something that might breach the precepts. For example, if we don't receive precept, we will always say, okay, we won't kill people, but what about insects or mosquitoes? We probably just kill them without any further thoughts. But because of precepts, when we're about to take the action, we will realize, oh, we're about to do something that might, you know, break the precepts. So in our daily life, there are a lot of situations like this, and we will hesitate, reflect upon what we're about to do. So it really has the function of prevention beforehand. That's very important.
好，那另外一部分就是会怎么样？事后的反省，就说我已经忍不住了。比如刚刚的例子，手已经怎么样打下去了，然后发现怎么样？哎呀，我不应该这样，就是事后反省已经做了嘛，你还是习惯性做了，然后但是你又发现心里又一个觉照警觉说啊，我不应该做，但是我做了，那我要干嘛？忏悔反省嘛，就是说啊，我这件事下次要怎么样？要修正，这次做错了，比如说蚊子不小心就又打死蚊子的时候，就要干嘛？至少会忏悔，然后念佛，然后希望他去什么投生到善区，至少会动这个念头哦。那这就是戒的功能。
And also, and just like the example I said, if you about to kill the mosquito, you will hesitate. That's the function of prevention beforehand. But if you already kill the mosquito, at least you will reflect upon what you just did, and probably you will repent and chant Buddha's name, and at least wish the mosquito will reborn in a good realm. So this serves the function of reflection afterwards.
所以如果我们内心常常有这个防非止恶，还有这个惭愧心的话呢，就代表我们有没有在开始持戒？有没有？就是在持戒。
So, you can observe yourself if you often give thoughts to this type of thoughts that will try to avoid break the precepts beforehand or afterwards. That means that you're already upholding the precepts.
所以说戒就很像这个是什么红绿灯，这是表示什么意思？看到红灯要干嘛？要停止，然后看到绿灯呢可以走、哦、菩萨道是不是这样？就是有些事情是不可以去做，可些有些事绿灯该过的时候如果不过，会不会影响交通？也会影响交通，就是菩萨戒也更积极，该做的没做也是什么？也是犯戒，就是我们要积极去护生的时候，因缘我们做得到的时候就要去做，不然也是犯戒。所以这个是一个号字，所以这个菩萨戒就能发挥这样的功能。好
So Bodhisattva precepts are just like traffic lights.On one hand, it helps us to avoid danger, prevent the evil deeds. On the other hand, they are very positively encourage us to do the good deeds if the cause conditions are right. Because it would be a violation of precepts if you had the chance to do something good, but you didn't do it.
所以戒呢，就像人生的交通号志。是帮助我们什么避危难，走在正道上面的。
So precepts are just like traffic lights to help us avoid danger and travel on the right path.
大家会觉得，所以有受戒跟没受戒有没有差别啊？
So what do you think? Is there a difference between people who already receive precepts and for people who haven't received Bodhisattva precepts?
如果没有受戒，就像这样，看到交通号志，不懂得去什么遵守。请问闯红灯，就像没受戒闯红灯的话，会不会出车祸危险呢？会不会？会不会因为有受戒的人更会出车祸？有这种事吗？ 会不会？我们刚刚已经讲戒的功能嘛，就是明知道红灯如果闯过去可能会出车祸，那受戒完我们有警觉功能说啊，这是红灯不能做，那危险相对会怎么样？降低，安全会提高。那不受戒的人呢，他这个警觉功能没有，所以相对的话发生意外车祸的几率会怎么样？高很多啊。所以受戒是保护我们的，佛陀也因为这样制定这些戒法是要帮助我们，让我们众生什么离苦得乐，得到究竟的安全，不再产生痛苦的生死果报。所以戒非常重要。
So it's just like people wrong red lines and you know, get car accidents, involved in car accidents. If precepts are just like traffic lights, if for people who already taken Bodhisattva precepts, just like they already understood the meaning of red lines and they know it signals danger and they should stop. This understanding will help them, and also this mindfulness, alertness will help them to reduce the risk of running the red lines and get killed in a car accident. On the contrary, for people who haven't received Bodhisattva precepts, they are not necessarily have this level of mindfulness or alertness. So it's more likely for them to run red lines and get injured in car accidents. So precepts really serve the function of protection, just like the Shakyamuni Buddha set up all these precepts. The purpose of these precepts are to protect us and help us deliver us from sufferings and achieve happiness.
所以菩萨戒简单讲就是我们成佛道路上的一些指路的标示，可以指出我们成佛道路上有哪些危险，有哪些坑洞，然后保护我们避免是怎么样掉到这些坑洞而受伤齁。那这些坑洞可能有的是比较深的，这就好比是犯了重戒的话呢，就是跌到万丈深渊一般就会受重伤。如果是犯比较轻微的戒呢，就像掉到比较浅的洞里，可能只有受轻伤。那就算我们受轻伤，就像扭到一样，脚好不好走？也是不太好走。所以这是一个譬喻啦，所以我们要在成佛道上要很安全的话呢，安全抵达的话呢，一定要什么？受菩萨戒，持菩萨戒。
So it is just like Bodhisattva precepts are really like signal lights or signposts that Buddha helped us to navigate through our path. Just like if there are deep holes or shallow holes, and the deep holes would be traps for for breaking major precepts, and those shallow holes could be breaking of minor precepts. But even for minor precepts, if we break them, just like we twist our ankle, it's still not good. You can't walk for a while. So in order for us to walk the Bodhisattva path safely, we really need the precepts to help us.
好，那我们上次有提到菩萨戒的精神，菩萨戒的精神是什么呢？
SoLast talk, we mentioned the spirits of Bodhisattva precepts. So what are the spirits of Bodhisattva precepts?
Huh? 我们常常说要发什么愿啊？有四个愿。是什么？
So we often say that we need to make four great vows. So what are they?
有人讲了齁，四弘誓愿，对，其实菩萨戒的精神就是四弘誓愿。
That's right, some people say, mention the four great vows. The spirit of Bodhisattva precepts are precisely in accordance with the four great vows.
所以呢，最重要的在发什么心啊？菩提心，就是要成佛的心，要度众生的心。那最重要的还是在什么？要利益众生，这是最重要的哈。
So the foremost is to give rise to the Bodhi mind, and the emphasis of the Bodhi mind is always to benefit all sentient beings.
所以我们也可以讲说，以大圣修学大圣佛法，我们呢，大圣的戒体，简单讲，其实就是什么？菩提心。
So we could say that essentially, the essence of Bodhisattva precepts in Mahayana tradition is the Bodhi mind.
大家还记得受戒的时候怎么样？这个为什么会有这个戒体？
So people, do you still remember, when we receive Bodhisattva precepts, why do we have the essence of precepts?
其实我们在受戒的过程呢，其实是对了，对谁发誓愿啊？有没有印象？
So do you still remember when we receive the Bodhisattva precepts, who do we make a vow to?
我们的对象呢，其实是十方十法界的有情和无情哈。来发三种誓愿。
So, we are actually making vows to all sentient beings in all ten directions, ten Dharma realms.
所以这个对象呢是十法界的众生哈。十法界的众生，有没有很广大？有没有？心非常广大。
So we are making vows to.All ten directions of ten Dharma realms of sentient beings. So it is very broad. The mind is very broad.
就是我们发了哪个誓三个誓愿呢？大家讲出来一定知道。三句什么？境界就是发了这个誓愿。三句境界是什么？
一切善，行一切恶。
一切
恶，行一切善，定一切众。
好。止恶修善度众生，这个誓愿。
So what do we make about is about the three accumulative pure precepts. So the contents are we will refrain from doing all unwholesome deeds, and we will engage in all wholesome deeds, and we will deliver all sentient beings.
所以呢，我们在受戒的时候呢，我们就发了坚定的誓愿，要怎么样？对十方法界所有的众生，止恶修善，度众生。
So when we receive Bodhisattva precepts, we make vows to all sentient beings in ten directions of Dharma realms that we will do all good deeds and refrain from all evil deeds and deliver all sentient beings.
所以这个心量很广大，而且时间是怎么样？是今生吗？哈，是近未来际哦，广不广大？哦，这个心量时间广大，然后呢，空间时间近未来际，空间呢，十方法界非常广大。
So, the scope is very broad. Now, what about the duration of our vows? Is it just for this life? No, it is for all future lives. So in terms of time, it is very broad as well.
所以为什么这个受菩萨戒有这个戒体呢？有了这个戒体就可以产生这么大的力量，是在于这个发心。还有这个坚定的誓愿，我很清楚我要做什么，我该做什么，就是这个产生力量。
So why we can receive the essence of precepts is because of the Bodhi mind, give rise to the Bodhi mind. We are determined to make such vows, and we are clearly aware what we are making of.
所以受菩萨戒的人呢，跟一般说我们说世间做慈善事业的差别，有没有差别？大家知道差别在哪里吗？
So, do you know what the differences are between the Bodhisattva the vows of Bodhisattva precepts and ordinary worldly good deeds?
因为一般的慈善事业呢，可能会只对象只对什么？我喜欢的众生，那我不喜欢的我没办法对他做善事。好，这个就是他所缘的众生有限，还有时间呢？时间可能是有想到做，没想到不做，这个就差别很大了。
So for ordinary worldly good deeds such as charity or philanthropy, the scope is limited only to people they like or the cause they believe in, and the duration is limited too. When they think of, when they remember to do good deeds, they will do. But if they don't think of that, they won't do it.
所以受菩萨戒呢，我们发心的对象是愿亲都要什么？都要平等，都要度众生哈、哦，没有拣别的哦。最后啦，可能刚开始我们叫初发心菩萨，可是我们知道大方向要走到什么？愿亲是平等，所有一切众生都救度。
And for Bodhisattva precepts, we know, even though we can't do it, we can't really do it in the beginning. In the end, we know we need to treat all people, all sentient beings, including those you like or those you dislike, equally.
所以我们受完戒其实可以说是新生命的开始。刚刚讲受完戒就有这个菩萨戒的清净戒体不断的在我们生命发挥什么？功能，这个功能是敬畏来记的，菩萨戒的戒体是敬畏来记，一直在的哈。
So after receiving Bodhisattva precepts, you are really reborn, and in some sense, and because you receive the pure essence of Bodhisattva precepts, and they will function for unlimited lifetimes to come.
好。所以呢，菩提心是大圣的戒体哈。所以简单讲就是说，如果舍掉菩提心，这个戒体的功能就怎么样，就没了，功能没办法发挥啊。如果没有这个菩提心，如果我们有这个大的菩提心呢，我们的心就可以发挥功能，戒体的功能就能发挥到极致。
So, The key point is the body mind. If you give up or abandon the body mind, the function of the essence of precepts won't work. So the key point is to give rise the body mind.
好，所以我们要做任何事的根源是从内到外的，所以要先有菩提心，才有可能有菩提什么行啊。就心就是愿嘛，菩提愿，有这个愿才会有这个行，所以因为有菩提心才可能成就一切的什么菩萨行，好，然后最后可以成就佛道。
So all things starts with the body mind. It starts from inside, then carry out to the outside. So the body mind give rise to all bodhisattva conducts.
好，接下来我们讲持戒的态度。
Next, we'll talk about the attitude of upholding precepts.
好，那我们怎么样的态度来持戒呢？哦，有几方面可以来学习。
So how should we uphold precepts? What are the attitude we should have? We will address this from a few aspects.
我们要知道持戒是为了消除我们自己的烦恼恶习，恢复我们自心的清净。快乐成佛是我们自己的事，和别人持不持戒完全没关系。
First, we should understand that upholding precepts is to eliminate one's own vexations and bad habits, unveil one's pure nature and attain Buddhahood. So it is our own business, and it is not relevant whether others uphold the precepts or not.
所以我们要不要受戒，要不要持戒，佛有没有办法逼我们？没有办法。好，佛只有跟我们说这个持戒怎么好，它的结果怎么样，分析告诉我们。那至于我们愿不愿意去改变我们的生命，决定权在哪里？自己。因为持戒会让我们身心清净，离苦得乐嘛。那不持戒就造恶业， 有痛苦的果报，那是我们自己可以选择的。所以那真的是我们自己的智慧抉择，真的跟别人没有关系。
So we understand no one can force us to receive Bodhisattva precepts, not even Buddha himself. Buddha can elaborate on how beneficial they are, how good it is for our own benefit. But it is still up to us. We still have to make a choice whether we want to receive Bodhisattva precepts or not. And Buddha can only tell us if you receive them, how beneficial will be, and if you don't, how you will still suffer birth and death and a lot of vexations. But ultimately, it's still your choice.
所以师父有 提到说，凡夫菩萨应以圣人做模范，却不要将凡夫菩萨当圣人来要求。那维摩诘经上也讲，自守戒行，不积比缺，是菩萨净土。
So, our founder Master Shen Yan mentioned, honorous bodhisattvas should model after saints, but should not demand or judge honorary bodhisattvas like saints. And in the Vimalakirti Sutra, it also says, self-guard the precepts and do not slander others. This is pure conduct of bodhisattva.
所以我们自己持守戒律，那我们自己这样做的同时，还不要去耻笑别人不持戒的过失，好，这样才是菩萨清净的国土。
So when we uphold the precepts ourselves, we do not laugh at others who break Bodhisattva precepts, and this is the right way to do it.
所以我们不要随便认为别人什么犯戒啊，因为我们受戒，我们常常会拿尺来干嘛？量谁？都是量别人比较多。哇，这个人这里有问题，不如法，不持戒，可是很少量什么自己。哦，所以人家讲刚受戒更有时候就会这样。新官上任三把火，很努力持戒，可是火有时候都没烧自己的烦恼，都去烧别人，把人都烧到了。
So this is a reminder that we should really use Bodhisattva precepts to measure ourselves instead of others. But for people, especially for newly initiated Bodhisattvas, they tend to exercise too much power on measuring others' conduct against the standard of Bodhisattva precepts. That in that way will hurt people. So that's not recommended.
好，还有第三个呢，就是这个文殊菩萨哈。文殊菩萨呢，有人就问一个禅师说。文殊菩萨是七佛的什么老师，对不对？那人家就问说，那文殊菩萨你的老师是谁呀？啊，文殊菩萨的老师是谁？啊，答案都写在这上面了。答案是什么？遇缘则有师。好，这是文殊菩萨哈，他文殊菩萨是不管他遇到什么因缘，都是他学习的因缘，都是他的老师哦。所以这个因缘有可能是什么？ 有可能是好的因缘，也有可能是什么坏的因缘，他都能够变成是老师。所以我们在生活中会不会遇到各种因缘？有可能是正面的老师哦，这个菩萨各方面哦也很亲近持戒，对众生所有人都很慈悲，可能会有正面的这个菩萨老师，也有可能出现什么负面的啊，可是你要变成是什么老师诶，负面怎么可以成为老师？看到不好的要怎么样？要反过来说啊，我们要警惕，不要做类相同的，犯相同的过失，而且要慈悲对方，可能现在的因缘还没成熟，智慧还没开展到那个程度，所以他没有因缘去什么好好的持戒，所以要慈悲众生。所以文殊菩萨是这样，那我们也是要学文殊菩萨哦，就是面对所有因缘都是成为我们的老师，可以让我们在佛法的学习上是增上的。
So Manjushri Bodhisattva are viewed as teacher of seven Buddhas. So people ask, then who is Manjushri Bodhisattva's teacher? Do you know the answer? So the answer actually is in the PowerPoint, which says Manjushri Bodhisattva's teacher are all causes and conditions. It means Manjushri Bodhisattva can learn from all causes conditions, no matter it is good condition or adverse condition. If this is a teacher with positive influence, with good examples, he can learn from them. And if there are teachers sets bad examples, he can learn from them as well. Because when he see some weakness or negative or bad conduct from someone, it can serve as a function of a reminder to remind us that we should not behave like that. And in the meantime, we should have compassion towards such people because the cause and conditions are such that he couldn't really observe the precepts very well. At the same time, you should have the wisdom to remind yourself not to follow suit. In this way, Manjushri Bodhisattva can learn from all causes and conditions. So we should learn from Manjushri Bodhisattva as well.
哦，这也我们世俗讲的三人行必有什么我师哈，都有值得学习的。
So it's just like the Confucius saying that three people walk together, there must be one of them must be my teacher.
好，那再做一个补充哈，我们持戒也不能变得很古怪，好，持戒也不能变得很古怪，怎么说呢？
So now we just want to remind everyone that when we uphold precepts, we should not behave strangely or act too weirdly.
就是我们不能说，我们的家人可能还不了解，没有亲近，没有学习佛法，那我们受完戒，我们都要要求他们通通都什么配合我们，就是好像家人成为我们修行的什么一个障碍啦。好像把他们觉得都是怎么样干扰我好好持戒的一个范围哈，就会觉得说他们会影响我们哈，就是反而要对家人多多的什么关怀，不能要跟家人什么疏离呀。就是我们有时候会这样，就觉得说啊，我的家人怎么都这个样子，好，然后就跟家人比较疏离。其实我们在受戒持戒的时候是要多关怀家人，让他们感觉到说，诶，我们去受完戒回来是什么，是更关怀他们，慈悲他们的，他们感觉到，诶，学佛的人这个各方面想的也好，说话也好，行为也好，都是怎么样能够对别人有慈悲也有智慧的，那他们才有可能接引进来。如果我们一开始就觉得说他们怎么都这个样子，只有我一个人这样子啊，别人 都要配合我们，可是别人现在因缘又做不到的时候怎么办？
So when we say, when you receive precepts, don't act too weirdly. We're talking about that once you receive precepts, your views might be different from your family's. You should not demand your family member to resolve around you or to see things from your view, because this way you will alienate your family from you. Instead, you should become more compassionate and care about them more and really see things from their perspectives and to think of them and to use kind words and kind conduct to show that you become a better person in their eyes.
所以我们在持戒、戒律和人情的部分两方面都要什么？要去有智慧的考量哈。所以持戒的态度呢，可以简单用几个譬喻啦哈。可能可以是冰，也可能是水，也可能是云。刚开始这冰和水和云感觉成分化学结构有没有一样？H2O 嘛齁，都是水齁。但是他们的形象有没有不太一样？不一样，对不对？那其实一种譬喻齁。我们刚开始这个持戒的时候，我们可能会像冰。比较什么？冰给人感觉是怎样？硬硬的，硬邦邦的，然后怎么样？会跟人家相碰，比较不能相融齁。刚开始会有一点格格不入的样子，就是还没拿捏到那个自在柔软的程度，刚开始会这样。可是如果渐渐我们懂得跟人家互动，用比较智慧善巧的方式，我们就会变成比较像什么？比较像水，水就可以开始适应，是不同的人，我们怎么跟他互动，让他去也是增上的哈，不同人的对应是这个样子的，可以随着不同人变化形状来适应。那在智慧更高的时候可以变什么？克云，很柔软很自在，而且云可以什么？片虚空，自由自在的，可以随缘变化。云也可以变成什么？雨水，然后滋润众生。这个虽然三个都是水，但是表现不太一样，柔软的程度不一样，发挥的功能就不一样。所以这个是我们可以来学习的，就是我们的持戒原则是要坚定，可是我们的态度要什么？柔软的。
So the attitude to uphold the precepts, we can illustrate by a metaphor that is the ice, water, and the cloud. For example, the nature of ice, water, and the cloud are the same, water, right? But the forms and shapes of the three different things are very different. For ice, it is very hard on the surface. For example, when we start to learn and uphold Bodhisattva precepts, it's just like ice. It's very hard. We hold it very tightly. It's hard. It's harsh. So when we interact with others, we it's very hard to be compatible with others. We can do it gently with ease. But gradually, when your wisdom grows, you will more like water instead of ice. So for water, it's more compatible with others when you interact with others. And it can also benefit others. And when you have even more wisdom, you will become like a cloud. So the cloud can be pervasive in all places. And at the same time, it can turn into water to benefit sentient beings if needed. So even though ice, water, clouds, the nature of all of them are the same, it's just water. But because the forms are very different, the functions are very different too. So the principle for us to uphold precepts is firm, but the way we do it can be very differently with wisdom.
这个 举个例子哈，就是有法师那时候是去到类似澎湖，大家讲台湾的澎湖那个地方是怎么样？是周遭都是什么？都是海嘛哈，可能那个年代就是捕鱼为生哦哈。那好不容易法师去那边弘法，然后要用餐了，然后菩萨已经尽力准备了，但是里头会有什么？他好像就是什么？哎，对，有这些啊。他们那时候只能准备那些，那个法师去到那里已经怎么样？他们已经尽力准备了啦，哈，好不容易找到，好像是类似包了水饺，哈，弄了水饺，但是已经忙得快要一点，还是那个水饺已经包了，好，然后呢，里面也包馅，哈，是素的啦，哈，但是放了什么葱花还是蒜之类的，那两个法师去那里就吃了嘛，哈，那有没有感觉？有没有知道有包了东西？但是法师有没有吃下去？后来这个法师是吃下去，他们停了一下之后，两个人就把它吃完了。就是说，他知道那里的菩萨已经是尽力去准备素食，然后也把他有的东西准备了。那是因为他们不知道嘛。但是这个戒的话，那这个。不小心吃到这个新的哈，这个葱蒜，那就是嘛，自己忏悔就好了啦哈。那但是就会不会去会做一些变通，那也不会让菩萨觉得说很难堪呐。所以这个是持戒的一个过程，所以它是有一些弹性的，就是也是要护念到众生，但是我们又怎么样尽力来持守戒，它是有一点点这些。慈悲和智慧的抉择在里头的。
So the metaphor I just used of the ice water cloud, it actually comes from a story that there are two venerables visit to give Dharma talks in a place called Penghu in Taiwan, and that place was surrounded by sea. So you can imagine how difficult for volunteers there to preparefood for venerables. So they really tried their best. They made dumplings. Of course, it's vegetable dumplings. But still, there's scallions in it, which we know that venerables don't take them. So when the two venerables had lunch, they realized, when they tasted, they realized there's something wrong with the dumpling. But they stopped, but they didn't stop. They actually finished them. So this is an example to show that how to balance or make a wise choice between upholding precepts and interacting with others. Because if they strictly uphold the precepts, they would stop eating, but in that way it will make people who made the food embarrassed. So after consideration, they chose not to do that. So you can see the process of upholding precepts can be flexible. It's we really need to use our wisdom to make wise choice.
好，接下来是稍微复习一下菩萨戒的内容，大家还记得吗？菩萨戒的内容是什么？
So next, we will briefly review the content of Bodhisattva precepts.
刚刚有复习了有一个哈，是什么？三句境界，好，这最重要哈，菩萨戒的总纲。
So we just reviewed one of them is the three pure cumulative pure precepts. That's the outline of Bodhisattva precepts.
哦，师父提倡的这个菩萨戒。很有几个很重要的我们要持守的哈，这个精神核心总纲是三句境界。接下来呢，师父说还要持守什么？十善戒 好，这是基本的，好，一切境界的基础。
And in addition to the three cumulative pure precepts, we also need to uphold the ten virtuous precepts. It is a foundation for all pure precepts.
好，大家还记得十三戒是什么吗？
So do you all remember the ten virtuous precepts? What are they?
就是生离杀道邪淫，出家菩萨是离淫欲，那口离妄言绮语两舌二口，心离贪欲嗔恚不正见。
So for lay people, the ten virtuous precepts are first, keep your body free from killing, stealing, engaging sexual misconduct.And for monastics, it's abstain from sexual conduct. And second is to keep your speech free from false statements, frivolous chatters, decisive words, and harsh language. And keep your mind free from craving, aversion, and erroneous views.
那还有一个是什么戒？十无禁戒。
And another one is the ten...inexhaustible precepts.
好，从今生至佛生，于其中间不得故什么？杀生，不得故偷盗，不得故在家菩萨是不得故邪淫，那出家是不得故淫欲，然后呢，不得故妄语，不得故沽酒，不得故饮酒，然后好，这个前五条先念一下。
And the ten inexhaustible precepts have that in this life and in all future lifetimes until attaining Buddhahood, one vows not to kill, not to steal, not to engage in sexual misconduct for lay person, and if monastics not to engage sexual conduct, and in this life and also not to be deceitful.And not to buy, sell, or consume alcohol. This is five of the ten, ten inexhaustible precepts.
那第六个就是不得故说在家出家菩萨罪过。第七个是不得故自赞毁他。前面都一样，从今生到，就是从现在到成佛，从今生到佛生，与其中间不得故自赞毁他。第八个是不得故什么？谦，第九个是不得故什么称，第十个是不得故谤佛法僧三宝。
The sixth is also all are from this life and in all future lives until attaining Buddhahood. One vows not to speak of the faults of the monastics and lay bodhisattvas, and not to praise oneself and defame others.And not to be miserly, and not to give rise to aversion. And the last one is vow not to slander the three jewels.
好，这十条众戒呢，是我们要去学习的。虽然是到成佛为止，但是这是十项非常重要的戒。为什么？我们刚学一定要有一个下手处。所以十众戒一定要多多的什么，多多的去了解，然后尽量的往这个最后圆满，我们能做多少做多少。为什么这个十众戒就刚刚讲的，就是路上有深坑，这就是深坑，就是千万别去犯到这十个，就是我们在持戒过程先掌握这最重要的，先要掌握起来。
So these 10 precepts are viewed as 10 major precepts. Those are, just like we said, deep holes on the path that we need to be aware of and what we should try to focus on to uphold.
当然这个细节可以讲，这个持戒的细节可以开源或开遮持犯，细节我们今天时间没办法详细讲，但是诸位菩萨如果有因缘可以多了解。
Of course, we don't have time to go into details of each one, but if you have a chance, you should try to study more about this.
好，所以这十个众 十五境界里头，大家可以看到这个图表，基本上我们会造犯这些过失，根源来自什么？身口意，根源会是来自哪一个？我们会造这些恶业犯重罪，根源是哪边发动？有看到吗？是口吗？我们讲话要经过哪里？我们要做什么？从意嘛。大家看到最后面，是因为我们呢，这十重戒其实是对付意业的作恶，调伏什么三毒哈、哦？等一下，其实是对付意业，因为我们要重新要观念思想发展到行为，一定是从哪边先调整？从我们的意念啊，所以是先从意念去调，所以调伏贪嗔痴，最后才能够怎么样？因为三毒对我们会让我们生死轮回嘛，所以就是要对治这个。所以大家有看到这个，可能看没很清楚，身会造什么？杀盗淫沽酒、哦、然后口会造什么？妄语，还有说四重过，还有呢自赞毁他，也会谤三宝，这是口业会犯的。那意业会犯什么？故牵，牵就是什么？舍不得，牵贪、哦、就是舍不得给别人牵。然后故嗔，生气，故意生气。当然大家会不会觉得说常我们都会生气，对不对？这个嗔是他真的有细节的、啊、嗔不受毁、啊、嗔心不受毁、啊、举例啦、啊、嗔心不受毁就是有人曾经伤害我们，可是怎么样，他来很诚心诚意忏悔，可是我们不接受、哦、他诚心诚意，可是我们不接受。那这个过程就是为什么会犯呢？是因为说我们有嗔心，我们不愿意对治，就是嗔心一直起来，身为菩萨不愿意对治。但是大家如果说，当然他有开源，开源就是说什么情况下不犯呢？如果有人来跟你道歉，可是他根本就是没有诚心诚意要道歉要忏悔，这种不犯。或者呢有人是来忏悔，可是忏悔又犯，忏悔又犯，根本也没有真正想要改变他的行为，这种我们也不犯。就是他是有一些开源，所以我说这个每一样都有他的一些条件，什么状况下是犯重，有时候是犯轻，有时候是不犯的，所以我们只能简单这样讲。所以这个是核心的，我们先掌握这个十重戒。
So this chart illustrates that all unwholesome karma created are generated from our mind, speech, and conducts. And from the chart, we can tell that the 10 major precepts are meant to address the evil karma created by mind and subdue the three poisons. For example, the karma created by body are the precepts of killing, stealing, conducts of killing, stealing, engaging sexual misconduct, buying and selling alcohols. And the karma created by speech are lying, defaming others, and slander three jewels. And the karma created by mind are being angry and being miserly. And, but of course, under each precept, to be able to tell whether you already break the precepts or, it is due there, or whether you will fall under exceptions, it needs to be examined closely. For example, not to give rise, the precept of not giving rise to anger, can also, extend it to when someone, hurt you but come to you with a sincere apology, but you do not want to forgive that person, it can be viewed as a violation, a, a, a break of the precepts of not give rise to anger. But there are also exceptions under such rule. For example, if the person who hurt you come to apologize, but he is not sincere, and then if you do not forgive him, it would not be viewed as violation. But and also if that person apologizes but commits such conduct again and again, and you have the right not to forgive that person, it won't be viewed as violation.
当然刚刚讲的这个称心不受悔，我们拒绝他还没有到犯众，如果真正犯众戒破戒的话，是说我们不但是拒绝心意不接受他的忏悔，还有呢出口骂他，还有加以手打，就是如果这三个身口意都具足，我们就犯众了。因为菩萨是要慈悲对众生的，所以如果我们这三样具足，对一个很诚心虔诚忏悔的人身口意，我们这样对待他，我们才犯这一条的重戒，其余的都还没有到犯重。
Just to clarify, when someone makes a sincere apology, if we don't forgive them, it will not necessarily lead to the break of the precepts. It needs to be that you don't forgive that person. At the same time, you scold them or curse them, and at the same time, you even beat them. And with all three present, you are viewed as violation of such precept.
所以呢，大家知不知道？这个菩萨戒内容提那么多，刚刚是举最重要的部分嘛，虽然叫做三句禁戒叫总纲，那如果真正要讲菩萨戒是什么，它的内容应该是什么非常广泛的哈。所以大家觉得有谁可以持菩萨戒持的清净哈？
So you can tell
谁可以持清净，有没有可以持清净的？有啊，是谁？只有佛持清净。所以呢，偶益大师有讲，唯佛一人持净戒，其余皆是破戒者。认真讲，菩萨戒就是这样。所以我们会不会犯戒？会不会破戒？一定会的。我们是凡夫，所以先要了解是这样。
So, from this example, you can see that the three cumulative pure precepts are just served as outline. And if we want to go into the content of Bodhisattva precepts, there are really a lot to talk about. It's very broad. And just like Master Oyi pointed out, only Buddha can uphold precepts perfectly. And for all others, we won't be able to uphold precepts perfectly. We will bound to break them from time to time.
所以菩萨戒不是一生就能持好的，要花多少时间啊？成佛要花多少？三大阿僧祇劫哈。所以我们受菩萨戒是修行的开始，不是完成。所以正因为有受菩萨戒，我们会去调整，会去要求我们自己。所以才叫做修行啊，不断的修正嘛，修正我们错误的观念和行为，就是这个过程才叫修行啊。
So we know that we won't be able to uphold Bodhisattva precepts perfectly just in this lifetime. It will take many, many lifetimes, the three kalpas of lifetimes, to be able to perfect this. So receiving Bodhisattva precepts really is just the start of our practice. It is not the end or the completion of our practice. It just serves the function of remind us to start practice.
所以对我们凡夫菩萨最重要的是一定会犯过失，但犯过失怎么办呢？要忏悔，所以要懂得忏悔。所以我们去受菩萨衣，我们成无那件衣叫做什么？忏悔衣。
So for ordinary sentient, for ordinary people who receive Bodhisattva precepts, we are bound to break them from time to time. So it is important to repent. And just like when we receive the Bodhisattva sash, it is called the sash of repentance.
所以菩萨戒是有犯不思的，所以菩萨当知惭愧常忏悔。如果我们有犯戒的地方，要惭愧忏悔，还要发愿不要再犯。如果没有犯戒的地方，就要心生警惕，随时随地护持清净戒体。
Bodhisattva precepts will not be lost, even violated. Bodhisattvas should feel ashamed and often repent. If we realize we break the precepts, we should give rise to repentance and repent sincerely and vow not to do it again. And if we uphold precepts well, we still need to be alert and be mindful of all the time that we need to protect this pure essence of precepts.
好，那我们知道受戒有很大的功德，那犯戒也有它的过失，好，也有它的什么罪过嘛，哈。那但是要特别要注意的就是我们菩萨戒有两种情况下会失戒，什么状况呢？第一个是犯了什么重戒，就破重戒啦。破重戒主要是指杀盗淫妄这四个，而且是犯了上品的烦恼。那大家有看到吗？上品烦恼缠犯，好，这是什么意思呢？就是我们犯了四个根本重罪，就杀盗淫妄，然后呢，而且是怎么样？烁烁现行都无惭愧，然后呢，生生爱乐见识功德，这什么意思呢？就是说，我们这个行为犯了杀盗淫妄呢，不断的犯都没有惭愧心，而且还觉得做这些事是什么有功德的，这个就犯了重戒哈。所以这个偶益大师讲，这个上品的犯，这我们有没有惭愧心是决定因素哦，很重要。
So under two major circumstances, Bodhisattva precepts will be viewed as lost. The first one is a violation of major precepts. For example, the breaking precepts of killing, stealing, speaking falsehood and sexual misconduct. Those are from the conduct. At the same time, you also need to continuously commit such offenses to qualify. And at the same time, you don't give rise to repentance mind. And you have the wrong view of such action will create merits. Only when all these elements are present, you will be viewed as breaking the major precepts. And Master Oyi pointed out, the most important element is you don't have the mind of repentance.
好，另外一个就是我们故意舍去大菩提心。什么？这个是什么状况呢？比如说，我们呢，对人宣布不做菩萨了，或者不相信有菩萨行，还有觉得大圣不如小圣好，就不学大圣法了，或者是不相信佛法，去信了外道。就是舍去我们的菩提心，这样就会失戒。
And the second one and that qualifies that will your Bodhisattva precept will be lost is to abandon great Bodhi mind intentionally. There are a few things will qualify under this. For example, you publicly announce that you're no longer Bodhisattva and you give up the Bodhi mind. Or you believe that Mahayana tradition is not good as Hinayana tradition, or you believe you give up your faith in Buddhism completely and follow out path.
好，那我们看忏悔的方法呢？哈，简单讲分几种，四忏和什么礼忏哈？四忏呢， 大家有看到做法忏跟什么取向忏哈？做法忏呢，就是说有一定的仪轨，就是后头有讲的，要对一个人什么忏悔，或者对三个人忏悔，或对四个人以上来忏悔，这个是跟我们犯罪的轻重来决定我们怎么来忏悔哈。做法忏比较针对十众戒里头，这个取向忏针对四根本戒杀盗淫妄，做法忏针对什么？针对其他六条，十众戒的还有其他六条是用做法忏。那众戒我们已经讲过了嘛，哈，就杀盗淫妄，刚刚讲上品烦恼残犯这种要用取向忏，因为他已经失戒戒体了嘛，而且没办法再重受，他可以怎么样？取向忏，这个梵网菩萨戒经有讲，什么叫取向忏？就是这里有讲的，他就什么不断的拜忏，要到什么见光、见花或什么佛来摩顶，就是见到好像。如果能够忏悔、自诚恳切到这种状况，就不用重受，这是取向忏。那当然，弘一大师有讲另外一种方法。如果一个人很虔诚忏悔，即使没见到好像，他可以拜一年也可以灭罪，但是要重新受戒，这个是犯了四根本重戒。那其他的呢，就是用做法忏，比如说像一个人忏悔就表示你是轻罪，非染污犯就是说不是故意的，没有犯罪动机但做了。我先提一下好了。好，
So there are different ways, different types of repentance, depending on how severe the violations are. For example, the repentance of specific forms, that is a type of repentance that you can repent to one person, in front of one person, or three people, or four people, depending on the level of offense. This type of repentance follows certain ritual, and it is mainly addressed the minor offenses. The second type of repentance is repentance repentance all the time continuously. You need to repent continuously until you see the Buddha image or lights or the Buddha coming to empower you. And Master Hong Yi said, well, even though you can see those sublime sign, you can prostrate and repent for a year sincerely, and that can count as well. But for this type of repentance, you need to receive the precepts again, because the Bodhisattva precepts are already lost. Those type of repentance specifically address four fundamental heavy crimes like killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, and lying. And the first type of repentance address the other six minor offenses.
好，这个染污和非染污就在于有没有犯罪动机。后头的方便轻垢或方便重垢是指轻垢就是轻的罪，然后重垢就是重的罪。那方便就是说未遂罪啦，就是我想做这些，比如说假设我真的想杀人，可是我最后没有把对方给什么杀死，就是最后没有完成，这叫未遂罪，这叫做方便哈。那这个程度一般我们呢，轻罪我们一定要知道怎么忏悔，因为我们一般常会犯到轻罪，可以怎么样忏悔，跟同样受持菩萨戒，比如说我也受菩萨戒，你也受持菩萨戒，但是这一条戒你要清净的，对方是持这条戒是清净，你可以跟他忏悔，就是或者是找出家众忏悔。好，这是就是对轻罪是这样来忏悔。
So for the first type of repentance, because we probably will often commit minor offenses, so we need to understand how we can repent. First, if such violation is unintentionally, without motives, that is one type. The other type is regardless of small or major precepts, violation of precepts has not completely yet, is still in the preparation. Those type of offenses, you can repent in front of a person that uphold these precepts purely, or you can repent in front of monastics.
好，这个细节很多，我们稍微带过哈。所以总之就是犯罪的轻重啦哈，有重罪中的轻重，就像的轻罪啦哈，就像三个人悔过，因为没有世界体。那如果比较重的呢，重罪里面的重的呢，就要怎么样？已经失戒，可以重受戒，这种状况就像四个人忏悔啊。
So there are a lot of details in how to repent. For example, there are minor offenses of the major precepts, and then you can repent in front of three people. And there are major offenses of the major precepts, then you need to repent in front of four people, and we need to receive the precepts again.
好，最后一个是什么？礼忏哈，礼忏是最重要的哈，但是不容易哈。我们都知道业性本空，罪福无主，就是要有知道说我们会犯这些罪业是因缘生的，不是真实存在的。如果是真实存在的话，我们就没有办法忏悔灭罪了嘛。所以忏这个罪业本身也是空性，没有真实的体性的。
Another type of repentance is also very important, but it is very difficult to do, is repentance on principles. It's called no-form repentance. We need to understand that the nature of karma is empty, and no real person is receiving such karma either.
好，因为时间快到了哈，那有因缘我们再有机会再细讲，但是最后要叮咛的是第六个是什么？说戒菩萨，大家这个知道这是什么意思吗？就是要诵菩萨戒，受菩萨戒完要什么？诵菩萨戒。哦，菩萨是指什么？清净三业和长养功德的意思。哦，就是我们在诵菩萨戒的时候可以什么？忏悔我们的罪业，而且诵戒可以长养我们的功德。哦，所以在《梵网经》有讲，半月要什么？自诵诸佛法戒，就是要诵菩萨戒。如果没有诵这个戒，不是菩萨，不是佛的种子，这个蛮重要。
Limited time, we will talk briefly. The last point is, we need to do the Buddhist observance for reciting Bodhisattva precepts after we receive them, and Upasatha in Sanskrit means to cleanse the body, speech, and mind, and cultivate merits. Just like the Brahma Net Sutra mentioned, Buddha told Bodhisattvas that I recite precepts half monthly, and you should do the same. If one who has received Bodhisattva precepts does not recite them, he is not a Bodhisattva.
好，当然诵戒不限半月一次啊，但是最少不得少过半月诵一次。
Of course, it's not that you have to recite the precepts just half monthly. You can do more often, and it is just saying at least you need to do it half monthly.
所以我们在家菩萨要怎么做呢？如果家里有净室，就是有佛堂或比较书房啊，就比较一个空间比较清净的，半月应该要怎么样？自己来诵。好，如果没办法诵，至少要怎么样？如果附近有寺院，我们有没有诵菩萨戒？有吗？我们念佛共修礼拜一，每个月的月底都有诵菩萨戒，好，就可以来这边诵菩萨戒。为什么呢？因为诵戒可以不断的跟我们复习哪边还是可以做得更好。
So for lay people, if you have a room, study room that's quite clean, you can recite half monthly at home. If not, you can come to a nearby temple on those days to recite precepts, and they can help remind us to observe, uphold the precepts well.
好，最后还是要告诉大家，受持菩萨戒的功德很殊胜，让我们这个更加的 好好的来持守这个菩萨戒。好，这个大家有看到吗？好，一个是十方佛，一者十方佛悯念常守护，二者命中时正见心欢喜，三者生生处为诸菩萨有，四者功德具戒度悉成就，五者今后世信戒福慧满。
In the end, we still like to point out the sublime virtues of upholding precepts. Those are, first, one will be protected by all Buddhas. Second, when life ends, one will have right view with joy. Third, whenever reborn, there will be Bodhisattva friends. And fourth, virtuous merits are accumulated and all precepts are complete. Fifth, life now and afterwards, onwards, one will attain completion of precepts, blessings to wisdom.
好，所以这个就包含了今生的功德，好，还有呢，临命终时会让我们，因为受持菩萨戒，会让我们怎么样，心中很安定，不害怕，因为我们都是什么呀，尽力的断恶修善度众生，有很多功德，会很安心。好，第三个呢，就是未来会有怎么样，会有菩萨有，就是诸大菩萨等等，身边都会出现三知识。好，那所以这个是包含了今生功德、临终的功德和来生的功德，最后我们可以持戒清净圆满，也可以福德智慧圆满，最后成佛。
So the merits or virtues of upholding precepts can be mentioned in this lifetime and also for all future lifetimes. For this lifetime, there will be all Buddhas protect us. And when the life comes to end, we will be at ease because we know we already tried our best carry out the Bodhisattva conducts. And for many lifetimes to come, we will always have good knowing advisors be friends with us. So those are the merits for future lifetimes.
好，那我们今天就分享到这边，希望大家呢因为持守清净戒体而天天过着什么清净安乐的生活。阿弥陀佛。
So that concludes today's talk, and may you all uphold precepts, and that leads to a joy in the peaceful life. Thank you.